Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Now, it's been revealed that cancer rates in Liverpool are 20% higher than for the rest of the UK. In fact, if the region was brought down to the national average, around 600 lives per year would be saved. This Saturday marks World Cancer Day, so ahead of that, I've been finding out what's happening on Merseyside to make more people aware of the disease and to try raise a bit more money so more research can be done. We'll be hearing later from a couple of patients, one who is recovering and another who is terminally ill with the disease. But firstly, I caught up with the head of cancer research for the Northwest, that's Cathy Sivier, and she told me why it's important that World Cancer Day is here.
Cancer is now affecting one in two people in the world, and the great thing about World Cancer Day is that it is global. It's a global illness and disease that we're having to deal with, and really World Cancer Day is about trying to galvanise both individuals, but also governments and organisations to look at how we can work together to improve cancer rates and survival.
So how do you think days like Saturday then specifically help in you? Is it that more people have become aware of how they can perhaps fund something or donate to charity?
Yes, I mean, what we're hoping is that individuals who are affected by cancer, or maybe not affected, it may just be that they know somebody or a relative, what we want them to do really is to pledge that they're going to either give some of their time or ideally some of their money. But time is as precious to us because we like people to volunteer to help with our events. We like people to do challenges to raise awareness and money. And yes, the more money that goes into research, the better it will be. Cancer's a really complex illness, and it's a very clever illness, and it's changing as time goes on. It sort of evolves and develops, and so really research is so important to understand why that happens and what sort of treatments can be put in place to stop it happening.
You mentioned a moment ago that one in two people are affected by it. I mean, that's an utterly remarkable statistic, isn't it?
It is absolutely remarkable. But on the positive side, almost half of people now diagnosed with cancer survive. And that wouldn't have been the case maybe even 20 years ago. But with the research now, people are sort of living with cancer as a chronic illness rather than it being a death sentence.
So in Merseyside, how big a problem is cancer?
Actually a really big problem in Merseyside. About 3 years ago now, almost 2,500 people a year were being diagnosed with cancer. It is anticipated that by 2020 that will be up to 3,000 a year, and that's quite a lot. And also, in Liverpool, we have very high incidences of specific cancers. So things like head and neck cancer, in certain parts of the city, it's the rates there are actually twice the national average. So again, from our point of view, Northwest Cancer Research, we're trying to look for projects to fund that focus on those specific cancers. Hopefully, we'll be announcing soon some funding going towards a specific project working on head and neck cancer.
Why is the problem so bad on Merseyside then? Because I think I read that 86% higher than the European average.
Yeah. Well, it's a very complex reason, but often higher cancer rates are linked to poorer sort of deprivation and poorer housing, poorer diet, and that's not really about people's own choices, it's the circumstances that they find themselves in. So actually that is one of the key issues here. If social factors can be improved, the cancer rates will also improve.
And you mentioned that the number of people being diagnosed is going up. That must be a huge worry.
It is a huge worry. Part of it could be about earlier diagnosis, because as people that, I mean, the positive thing about getting a cancer diagnosis is the earlier you are diagnosed, the better your chance of survival. So you'll see around Liverpool at the moment, and I've seen them myself, there's actually posters advising people on screening and trying to encourage people to take up cancer screening. It's there for all of us, and the more people take it up, then the earlier cancer will get caught and will be able to be dealt with.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Okay, so I've come down to Frodsham to speak to Claire, and that's ahead of World Cancer Day on Saturday. And Claire, just tell us a bit about your story and why World Cancer Day might be important to you.
Okay, so I was diagnosed April 2015 with breast cancer. You hear those words and your whole world just basically falls apart. I've got two young children who were aged 5 and 8 at the time I was diagnosed. So your thoughts just instantly turn to them, really, thinking, how on earth am I going to tell them? How am I going to tell my parents? So I was diagnosed with breast cancer with lymph node involvement. I was told there and then on the night that I would have to undergo chemotherapy, 8 rounds of chemotherapy, a mastectomy and 15 rounds of radiotherapy. They told me that all there and then on the night I'd gone for the scan. They did the biopsy, the ultrasound, and diagnosed there and then. So in that kind of half an hour that you're at that hospital, my whole world literally just fell apart. My children were at a friend's house, so it was just instantly turned to them thinking, how am I going to go and pick them up and tell them this news?
It's the kind of thing that I think most people think, oh, it won't affect me. But, I mean, I've been finding out this week that it's unbelievable that 1 in 2 people in Merseyside are affected by it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's you just think it will never happen. And I went to the hospital that night thinking, I'm too young, I've got children, it's not going to happen to me. And nobody in my family had ever been diagnosed, you know, that we'd had no history of it in our family. So I was kind of thinking, no, it's not going to be, you know, it's hormones, whatever. And like I say, your whole world just in that instant falls apart. World Cancer Day is going to obviously be important to me because it's raising awareness, if nothing else. And I've done a couple of interviews in the past because I just feel if you can just, you know, say to people, just check yourselves regularly. If it just helps one person, then, you know, and that message can get through, then I've kind of done some good.
Can you remember that exact moment when you did find out, and as you say, that your world was just turned upside down?
Yeah, of course I can, yeah. Sat in a room, and the doctor had called me in, and my partner was with me. So as I stood up to go into the room, the doctor said, you might want to bring your partner with you. So at that point, I kind of knew in my mind that it wasn't good news. So the doctor sat and spoke us through the diagnosis and what the procedure, what my treatment plan would be. My partner was asking lots and lots of questions, and I could hear all these questions, but I couldn't hear what they were saying, if you like. It was just like a complete, the room was just spinning. I just needed to kind of get out of that room, really. So I didn't ask hardly anything at the time, and just came home, and it was quite late. I just did not sleep a wink that night. It was just all these things whirring around in your head. And obviously you hear the words cancer, you instantly think death sentence, don't you? You just, you know, and I'm thinking about my children, my future, their future. So yeah, that just all goes through your head.
And as you say, how do you then relay that kind of information onto your close family, your close friends as well? Because it can't be easy.
No, and it really wasn't. And it was a big decision as to whether we should tell the children. My partner wanted to kind of keep it from them. Obviously, the chemotherapy was going to make me lose my hair, so we didn't have much of a choice to tell them. But we did think, we spoke with my oncologist about this, who was fantastic at offering us advice, who advised us to be honest from the start. So we told them everything. And I clearly remember the night we told them, they were in the bath together, and they kind of giggled, but it was like a nervous giggle when we told them that this medicine mummy was going to have was going to make her lose her hair. And it wasn't till like a few hours later when it had kind of sunk in that they started to ask lots of questions. And my 8-year-old was kind of worried about the fact that his friends might tease him over mummy not having hair. And you know, it's funny what goes through the kids, kind of their heads, really. And it was over the next few weeks that the questions kind of came. But even telling my parents was obviously a very difficult. My parents live in London, so I had to make that call to phone them in London to tell them the bad news. And obviously they were devastated. So yeah, it's tough.
So we've talked about the bad times. What was it like then when you went in and they gave you better news, the good news, if you like?
Yes, fantastic. I mean, even after chemotherapy, we went in and we were told that there had been a reduction in the lumps. So you know that the chemotherapy has worked. So as horrendous as the chemotherapy is, and as horrible as you feel at the time, at least I knew it was worthwhile and it had paid off in the long run. After the operation, it was quite a quick recovery. So, when you hear those, they don't exactly say the words all clear, but when you're told, you know, that my last mammogram was no evidence of disease, it's just the most amazing feeling. Obviously, you still worry every day. Not a day passes where I don't worry about recurrence. I check myself, I check my good breasts regularly because you're just worried every day about recurrence. But to hear those words is just immense when you've been through the last year of what you went through.
It's great to see you looking so well now. And then looking ahead to Saturday, then how important a day is this, not just around here, but the world over, because it is World Cancer Day?
Yes, absolutely. I think it really is. So many people, unless you're affected by it, I think, you know, unless you're personally affected by it, you tend to just hear it and let it pass by. And even the boys now, when they hear an advert on the news, on the telly, on the radio, they'll comment on, you know, my mum beat cancer. And so I think it's just raising awareness for people, really. We try and do whatever we can in terms of helping with, we're quite heavily involved with Northwest Cancer Research. My little boy did a 10K run and raised money for them to try and just to raise awareness, really, and to get people talking about it and to get people checking themselves.
And your message to anyone who's maybe hearing this and thinking of perhaps getting involved would just be to do just that, do whatever you can to help.
Yeah, totally. Just do whatever you can. I mean, I think only for the research that's already been done, I might not be here today. There's a lot of money being invested into breast cancer. So I think, you know, the knowledge of breast cancer is they're a lot more knowledgeable about breast cancer than they probably are about other cancers. So I think they've, you know, if the research can go into the other cancers. So, you know, God knows where I would be if it hadn't been for that research. So it's just to keep raising awareness and raising as much money as possible to try and get that cure.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Claire Murphy from Frodsham there talking to me about her battle with cancer. Now, she had some of her treatment at the Clatterbridge Centre on the Wirral. So I went to speak to Christine Doan. She's their appeals manager and she told me why World Cancer Day is important to them.
We're actually choosing World Cancer Day to launch our appeal. We're launching an appeal for £15 million, which is to support the building of a brand new cancer hospital in Liverpool and some investment in our centre here in Wirral at the moment. We'll be the first cancer hospital in Liverpool. Liverpool's not had a dedicated cancer hospital before. And what we're hoping to do is raise the £15 million, which is part of a major project, and open our doors to cancer patients in 2019. So can't think of a better day to launch the appeal in many respects. And we're very honoured to have the support of Everton Football Club. They're involved in our appeal. They're raising £90,000. Over the next few years towards the big £15 million. So they're selling some scratch cards which will raise and generate that money, and we're just delighted to be able to launch our appeal on that day.
You mentioned how this is going to be Liverpool's first cancer hospital, and that's really important because rates in Liverpool and in Merseyside are so high.
It's absolutely shocking when you know there's 20% more chance of dying from cancer if you live here than anywhere else in the country. It's just overtaken heart disease and stroke as the biggest killer of people in Merseyside and Cheshire. And it affects so many of us. You know, one in two of us will develop it over our lifetime. This is something that impacts on just about everybody in the entire region. And, you know, if we want to make some inroads into those figures and we want to start to bring it down to the national average, then, you know, we need to do something, really. And the shocking statistic is if we actually just came down to the national average, it's an additional 600 lives every year would be saved in this part of the world.
It's remarkable, isn't it? It shows how important that the work going on here is, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what we're doing here is a lot of pioneering and innovative treatment. It's not just about our building, that we're building a brand new hospital. It's all the things that will go on in there. Lots more clinical trials, lots more research. And there's where all the big advances are being made at the moment with clinical trials and patients who are willing to try new and different treatments. And personally, that's what I would want to do. You know, I'd want to be trying the new different treatments if it meant it might give me extra time with my loved ones as well. So it is a massive, massive thing for the city. It doesn't have a cancer hospital, you know, and it's about time it did have a dedicated cancer hospital, and it's going to provide services to a population of 2.3 million people.
So World Cancer Day this Saturday, what would your message be to anyone who's thinking about getting in part, taking part or doing something to help out?
Well, I would say it's one in two of us will develop the disease. So that's one in two of us. That's, you think about it, that's half of Everton Stadium on Saturday. You know, the Everton are playing Bournemouth, and there'll be about 40,000 people there. 20,000 people, half of that stadium, will, you know, encounter cancer in their lifetime and develop cancer. So this is important for all of us. And, you know, that's the message, really. It's going to touch more people than most things. So hopefully everyone's going to get behind us and develop a truly remarkable service and transform cancer care for a population across Merseyside and Cheshire.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Right, so I've come to Pensby now to interview Rosemary about World Cancer Day, which is coming up on Saturday. First of all, can you just tell us a bit about why it might be important to you and what you've been through?
It's very important to make everybody aware of cancer, because it's a silent one. You have to check your body out thoroughly all the time. Myself, I was first diagnosed in 2012, and it's the most awful feeling that you can have. I had to undergo a mastectomy. And I was told I didn't need any further treatment, as it was what they call a ductal cancer. So once they removed the lump, I was cancer-free. But unfortunately, it returned in 2012. And I find that I now have cancer in my bones and in my lymph nodes, and it's from the breast cancer. I've been through a lot over these last 4 years, and I would urge everybody to check your body every time you're in the shower, every day, for lumps, bumps, anything you're unsure of. You go to your doctor and you make sure that you're seen, and it can really save your life.
You're still undergoing treatment now then. I bet you can remember the moment when you first find out. I bet it's etched into your memory, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. We were on holiday in Cyprus when I first felt this lump. And I had to come home and then make an appointment with the doctor. And it was earth-shattering. But the worst was when, in 2004, it just came a bolt out of the blue. I felt a lump on my neck, and I was told, oh, it's nothing, you'll be fine, we'll send you for a scan. And, of course, it was something, and it had spread. And, I mean, I've been told they can't cure me, but I'm being managed, and managed very well. The staff at Clatterbridge have been absolutely... I mean, I can't speak highly enough. They've just been awarded this CQC for outstanding. And it's so well deserved. They just are brilliant. And you go into there and it's a happy place. You know, we've had such laughs, and all the staff are so supportive. And it's not just about me. It's about my husband, my family as well, and they support everybody. It's just fantastic. But, you know, don't be afraid. If you're worried about something, don't be afraid, and don't put off going to the doctors. And that's my advice to everybody.
It's the kind of thing that I think most people think, oh, it's not going to affect me. It's something that happens to someone else, isn't it? But as I've been finding out over the last week, one in two people in Liverpool are affected by
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I never thought, no, I would never get anything like this, you know, because I was fit. And, I mean, even I was 64 then, but I was a fit 64 and you know, and positive and retired and looking forward to my retirement. And it's like, it just honestly is like a bolt out the blue. And you think, will I see my grandchildren grow up? You know, so I am now making happy memories now for my family to remember me when I'm not here again, because I don't know how long I've got. The way I feel at the moment, I'm going to live forever. It's, you know, I get such, you know, marvellous attention from the staff. And Dr. Malik, my oncologist, is wonderful. You know, it's just brilliant.
Can you perhaps maybe describe what it is like when you're going through chemotherapy or something like that?
Okay. So you go and you into the ward and you sit in the chair that they give you, and you're on a drip. They have to put a cannula in. And myself, my experience was that they couldn't get any veins all the time. So they inserted what they call a PICC line, P-I-C-C line, into your arm here. And that's permanent for when you're having your treatment. And they can do your scans through there. They can do take blood and give you your treatment. The treatment itself, I believe there's anti-sickness in it and all sorts as well. And it's no joke. It is no joke. For the first day and a half, I was fine. I used to go around like a headless chicken. I had all this energy. And then after that, you hit this brick wall. And it's you go down like a sack of potatoes. And I can't describe the feeling. It's awful. It's an awful feeling. But you're thinking, OK, I can deal with this because this is going to do me good. I'm going to get well again. I had that for 12 weeks. And just as I was, each week, just as I was coming back up again, it was time for my next one. So there was this cycle going on for 12 weeks. Losing my hair, my nails still haven't recovered, and things like that. Because after all, you're poisoning yourself, you know, with it. I had to wear a wig, and it wasn't very nice, but, you know, hey, you just get on with it. It's no walk in the park.
It must have just felt like this never-ending cycle, not just for yourself, but for your family as well, who had to go through it all with you.
Yeah, it's horrendous. It's horrendous. Because Rob, my husband, had to sit and watch me go through this and live it with me. And, I mean, my heart goes out to him because, you know, it's a terrible thing having to watch somebody you love going through this. You know, I can't begin to thank him enough for the way he supported me. He's been absolutely fabulous all the way through. And but it's the whole family. It affects my son, my grandchildren. They all know that Nanny's got a sore arm, as you know, they say. It's the whole thing, you know. But if you can get there early and get this diagnosed and get this before it gets any bigger and any rogue cells get out into the rest of your body. And this is what happens, as rogue cells go into the rest of your body. If you get there early, before this gets any bigger, get it removed, have a bit, you know, perhaps radiotherapy for a little while, get on with the rest of your life. But in my situation, it's with me now. Forever.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. This is Radio City Talk.
And that's Rosemary Jones from The Wirral there speaking to me about her battle with cancer. It is World Cancer Day this Saturday, the 4th of February, and you can get plenty more information on the websites of Clatterbridge Cancer Centre or Northwest Cancer Research.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.